I feel like I have big person energy. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like it bothers me as much.
Do you think you have big person energy because you're a little, like, you're shorter than?
Because I'm little? How dare you?
I didn't mean
What were you going to say? Littler? Littler?
I don't know. I'm tired. Don't hold me accountable for what I say. Okay, hold me accountable.
My wife just called me little.
No.
That is crazy.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 197 of
How Married Are You? Okay, my name is Belief, this is Yvette. We married 13 years, live in California, and we got four kids. Relationships scary, very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask how married are you? Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in a wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time. It's chocolate
baby story time.
One, two, three, and...
It's chocolate baby story time!
What happened?
I feel like we figured out the trick to getting Uzi to sleep in his own bed at nighttime.
How's that?
Take him to the pool every night.
Oh. He was still up last night.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Where was I? I was knocked out, probably. I was chatting with you last night. He wasn't up.
No, I forced him to go to sleep last night. I had to go and threaten him.
Oh, you know what? You're right. They were a little bit whatever still. Never mind. Take it back, y'all.
Yeah, we did take the kids to the pool. Or you did. And I was there.
You showed up.
It was cool. We hung out with my parents and, had a nice little time. Those kids, they really could just be in the water and... really and just enjoy themselves the whole time and entertain themselves. We don't have to do anything. You know?
It was nice seeing them just playing together. Uzi and Raya just plopping in the pool and
floating. Yeah. And they were pretty sufficient, too. Yeah. You know, it was a couple of times I thought I was going to have to go in and save somebody, but it was all good. Yeah.
I think you have anxiety.
I'm sure I have anxiety. You have anxiety, too.
I know, but you have it in a different way.
Yeah, like when my kids, I think my kids are going to die.
I think like I get a bodies little stressed. Of water. I mean, when kids are around bodies of water, you should always be extra cautious. But I feel like you are like you don't trust our kids' skill set.
No, I don't. I don't. I know that if there's an immediate like, hey, we got to dive in and save them, it's me.
Especially if it's two of us there, it's you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's me.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know how you would do in that situation. Because.
Because what?
You're not a strong swimmer.
Okay. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So shout out to the pools.
What's your chocolate baby story time?
That was it. I was piggybacking off of yours. All right.
Oh, I have one that you could share.
Okay.
So this morning, I don't know what happened, but the boys started asking me about puberty.
Oh, my gosh.
And so...
did you hear them talking to me?
Yeah. So, they started asking me about puberty, and Theo was like, Mom, so when is puberty start? It seems like he's excited to start puberty. And I was like, I think, like, closer to around 12. And then Raya was like, no, Dad said 15 or something like that. And then I was like, well, hey, Google, you know, sorry if you have Google at home. And I asked Google, like, when does puberty start for boys? And then she was like, 9 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, the boys had deep voices. And Raya was like, oh, I have to start dressing cool and all kinds of things. And so anyways, I kind of left them to that conversation because I needed to get in the shower. And so I'm in the bathroom and I'm hearing that the conversation has come upstairs and now they're having it with their father.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know. I didn't really get to hear the whole conversation.
Yeah.
But is there any highlights from there that happened?
They just are really excited to grow up. They were like, man, I can't wait to be a teenager. I can't wait to go through puberty. Does puberty hurt? You know, like, does it hurt? And I was like, well, you guys kind of already started. Like, you got little hairs under your underarms and all this stuff. And then... you know, they're just kind of like, I wanted to just be like, man, get out. Right? But I'm like, oh, yeah, this is it. Like, yeah. This is one of the moments where they feel comfortable enough to come to their father and talk, and mm-hmm. I'm glad to be here. So, because the question, they were like, yeah, man, when I'm a teenager, I can't wait to be a teenager. I can't wait to be 15. That's going to be so awesome. And I was like, and they were like, isn't 15 awesome, Dad? No, they were like, Dad, do you think teenagers are cool? Do you think teenagers are cool? I was like, teenagers are pretty stupid.
Did you hear me say that to them? No, I didn't hear you say that.
I was like, yeah, teenagers are pretty stupid, you know what I'm saying? Because they think they know everything and they have the mobility to do everything, but they don't know what to do. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, I was pretty foolish when I was 15, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, not everybody's like that, but some teenagers are really foolish. You know, they just do dumb things. And he was like, yeah, you used to get kicked out a lot, huh? And I was like, yeah, Theo.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. He was like, would you ever kick me out? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I don't, I hope not. But he goes, you're supposed to say no, man. And I was like, you never know. I mean, why would I kick my son out?
Yeah, why?
But at the same time, it's like, I don't know that version of them. Like, that version of them that's like, you know, overly.
Love doesn't mean access.
No, not that. It's definitely like the version of them that is so selfish. I'm trying to think about who I was at 15, and I just wanted to hang out with my friends all the time, you know. But I think I needed more time with my parents, and I couldn't communicate that. And so they just became adversaries, you know. Hopefully I have the knowledge. And let us know, some of you guys who are doing.
Yeah.
You're parents of teenagers and you're doing that season well, and you feel like you're doing it that season well, let us know what habits and things you guys are, traditions you guys are keeping. We definitely don't want to fail that season, but I know it can't be easy. I'm not looking forward to it being difficult, but I just know that it's a different person because hormones are adjusting everything. And so I don't know what to expect. But I know I got, you know, we got three boys and one girl, and all of them are very different, and they're a lot.
Yeah.
Individually, they're a lot.
Yes.
And so when you add all that in one household, it could either be, like, I hope that I develop an immense season of laughter and joy and, like, a sense of humor where I find everything funny. Because right now, I can just see myself getting irritated.
You know, I am not going to lie. I feel like Anaya and I, was that this morning or yesterday where we were like, you're getting on my nerves. No, you're getting on my nerves.
I don't remember that.
I think that must have been yesterday, her and I. Oh, it was yesterday after school. Mm. We were getting on each other's nerves. And I was like, what happens when she's also like PMSing and like our stuff starts to like, you know, line up?
Sync up.
I am not looking forward to it. So if
you're not looking forward to it, I'm not looking forward to it.
If y'all have any podcasts you're listening to or books you're reading that could help prepare us for where we're headed, because I feel like it's coming. Like, I definitely see Theo. Raya's got hair under his arms. Does Theo have hair under his arms?
I haven't looked.
There's stuff happening, y'all, so help us. Don't let us go in the dark. We are here for you. We don't want y'all to be journeying through life on your own, so we share our struggles. I'm not saying share, like, well, yeah, just let us know. Just tell us what's
going on. Yeah, send us an email about things you wish you knew before your teen started puberty. Things that you wish you knew. Like that information is so gold.
It's so gold.
You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that we can get that. But I'm not really worried. I'm just kind of like, I know it's going to be tough, you know? Because even if you guys sync up, right? Like, that's going to be whack, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be whack, you know? Yeah. I have to figure out if I'm going to team up with the guys or just be like, hey, man, you know, it's whatever. Leave them alone, you know? Or I'm going to be like, hey, man, I know. You know.
You know, I think I know exactly who I need to talk to. There's a couple people I could talk to.
Okay.
All right. Okay, y'all. This is that moment in the episode where we tell y'all to stop what you're doing. If you're washing your dishes, if you're vacuuming your floor, if you're working, whatever.
If you're driving, keep driving.
If you're driving, keep driving. But by the end, where you get when you get to the destination, I need you to like this video. I need you to make sure you're subscribed to this channel. And I need you to share. Share this episode with someone who you think would be blessed by it. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Share the channel. Share the love.
Yep.
All the things. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen, then I would encourage you to leave us a little review. And I think I'm going to start looking at those. I have not looked at those in a while. So we will look at those and maybe shout them out because I could use a little encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
These days.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, babe. So.
We got an email.
We've got an email. We've got a few emails. We will start with, I think we're going to start with this one. I am so sorry to the person who wrote this email because I'm kind of chuckling a little bit at reading it. But I'm going to start with this and I think we're going to go to the next one. And both these emails are from men. So I don't know if you're a man out there who's afraid to write us or call us because we do have a voicemail that you could leave us a message at. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. There's men out here reaching out to us because they feel like we could help them out with their situation. But this one right here is so cute.
Okay.
I am going to skip all the pleasantries. I'm so sorry. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, I'm going to skip some pleasantries and move into his comment. I'm a 23-year-old black male who has been on the shorter end of the spectrum since I was young. Never quite knew how to deal with it, had countless conversations with friends and family, consumed short king positive content, as corny as that sounds, and prayed about it, of course. But nothing seemed to be able to fight the feeling that no matter what or how much I achieve, people will always look down on me because of my height. Pun intended. I'm 5'8" for context, have other things going for me, but can't seem to get over the height aspect. Also, pun intended. Thanks, guys. Sending lots of love.
That is so sad. You know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
Because he's taller than me.
I know. That's why I was like, wait, what? That's tall.
Brandon is going to be cracking up editing this as he stands 6'3", right? So I'm like, I don't know about that, right? Because you know what's crazy? I remember being 19 and being like, I think puberty ends at 21. Jesus, you got like 3 more years, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, hurry up. Like,
oh, and you have said
2 more years, Jesus. Yeah, I would 100% take that surgery.
Glenn recently was telling me that he would do the, like,
The lengthening surgery. Man, so quick. I would do that thing so quick. I mean, obviously it's not, it doesn't seem like the most healthy process.
Yeah.
And I've been watching that dude walk around with a walker for like a year now. Like we, you know what I'm saying? We've seen him go through that surgery, that dude with the dreads. But it's a practical thing where it's like, oh, it's beneficial to be taller because, you know, I ain't really got to hop up on the counter to grab nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just beneficial. You know what I mean? I don't know how good them legs work. Like, I don't know if somebody kick him in the shin, he's going to disintegrate. You know what I'm saying? But, nah, I get it. Like, I get that urge to be like, yeah, like, why am I not taller? You know? But I don't really care. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I have big person energy. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like it bothers me as much.
Do you think you have big person energy because you're a little, like, you're shorter than?
Because I'm little? How dare you?
I didn't mean
what were you going to say? Littler?
Littler? I don't know. I'm tired. Don't hold me accountable for what I say. Okay, hold me accountable.
My wife just called me little.
No.
That is crazy.
I meant to say shorter because you're on the shorter side. The thing about me is so interesting because, well, I'm not going to lie. Because I was like, height wasn't really a big deal for me, but I wonder if it's because I'm so short. Because
height, it wasn't big deal for you, not for you, but for the person you dated.
Yeah. For the person I dated, like for the man that I wish to be with. My only rule is he had to be taller than me. Because if he's shorter than me, then...
Y'all get a handicap blanket.
Like, I'm really short. For context, I'm 4'11 and a half inches tall. And they always give me the half whenever they measure me. So I'm a half. So I'm like less than 5 foot tall. So I'm kind of like, you know, they should at least be 5 foot tall. And I didn't even care if like I wear heels and I'm taller than him. Just as long as like, you know, he's taller than me. And so that was never, it's never been like a, oh, I really want this really tall guy or whatever. I feel like that's awkward. Like, you can't hug. I feel like we have to fit, you know.
Y'all find a way.
Whatever. I found you. Mm-hmm. I found you. You found me. Somebody found us.
Get to the point.
So what I'm saying is, I don't, like, I hear this. Like, men who are willing or people who are willing to have lengthening surgeries and whatever. And I'm like, you're just you. Yeah. And then you see people like Kevin Hart with a beautiful wife who is taller than him. And he's successful in doing all things. And it's like, is he with her because he's successful or is he with her? You know, does he have those complexes? I don't know.
I think Kevin Hart plays it well. He's a comedian. So it's kind of like, you know, it's a part of the character. I think if you take in a lot of content that is what women want, right? Like, you're going to perceive that you are not enough. Because women's, not all women, a lot of women speak in the perfect man for them. And it's very similar to, like, Prince Charming. You know what I'm saying? Prince Charming, Disney, Princess, Rapunzel, right? All these characters that are like these men on horses, you know, knight in shining armor, like these type of people. And so it never looks how it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does, you know, but then like just because somebody tall don't mean they're like good, you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, even you, like you say that now, but you wanted a light skinned, tall man.
What?
You said that.
No, I just said Will Smith was my type.
Yeah, a light skinned, tall dude. So, and you dated a light skinned, tall guy.
I didn't date him.
Okay, well, what did you do? You better have been dating.
This is
because
irrelevant.
What you did was illegal in Leviticus.
This is irrelevant to this conversation.
Exactly, but I'm saying you dated somebody who
looked... And he was too tall. All
right, he was too tall, but you figured it out, right? He figured it out. It happened, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think you were looking at him like, oh, he's just too tall. You were looking at him, you were like, this guy has issues, this, and this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't basing it on his
height. It wasn't, you weren't like, oh, he's just not too tall for me. Like, that's not a thing, right? Unless he's like 7 foot and you're 4'11". Like, even people figure it out that way. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember Shaq dated someone who was like super short at one point.
Is he 7 foot?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Shaquille O'Neal, I think he's like 7'2 or something like that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm going to look it up. Keep talking.
Anyway, so I understand that short king kind of syndrome, but I don't think it's because I'm short that I have a big personality or like I have big person energy. I just don't think anybody who's taller is better than me. Like, because they're taller.
Because they're taller.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I just think cats be tall. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like, I've had dudes who, like, are taller than me look down on me and still can't rhyme better than me. Like, who rap. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, can do many things, not more creative than me or don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not at a loss for what I'm built for or what my... you know, like, I don't feel like I'm insufficient, even though it would be nice to be able to read some things. You know what I'm saying? Or like.
Read?
Reach.
Oh,
It would be nice to have a bigger arm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it just bigger arm span.
When I need something from the top shelf, it's just like, man.
Yeah, or you're like, hey, hang that for me. I'm like, that's going to take a little bit. I got to find a ladder. like if I was tall, I could just go and do it. But my first thing is, where's the ladder?
Or when I'm at the gym and they want us to do pull-ups, but I can't even reach the bar.
And you got to jump to get to the pull-up bar?
I can't even jump to get to it. My fingertips touch it. I have to get a little box.
Yeah. See, I got to jump to get it, to get to it. And that's a whole nother exercise. That's a box jump and a pull up, which is more calories,
yes.
Which is extra credit. And
look
that
us,
is not fair.
Us. No, it's cool, babe.
Right. So, yeah, I feel this man's struggle. Yeah. So Shaquille O'Neal 7'1". So like, it makes me like, I do feel sorry for him, but I get it. Like, when I hear women talk about the typical man that they want, it's always like they don't imagine someone who's 5'8 or 5'10. It's always 6 foot. You know what I'm saying? But I think that we are hyper. We are given like this information on the timeline, but it's not actually what real people think. Like, I don't know if real women care as much.
Mm-mm.
And we can leave it in the comment section below. What do you think? Are you, does a man's height, is that truly important to you? If everything else is good about him, his character and all that stuff, and he's hardworking and all those things, right? Like, what are your must haves, right? And so there are some tall women who are like, man, I'm 5'10, I need a guy at least 6 foot. But if you're 5'5, you don't need a guy 6 foot, man. Like, you just don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're being greedy. I think so. You could do a 5'7, 5'8, 5'9. These dudes can exist. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
For you, you don't have to have the 6 foot. Nah, because I want to wear my heels. I will cut the bottom of your shoes off. Heels are so uncomfortable.
Why are you choosing violence?
Heels are so uncomfortable anyway. Come on.
Not all heels.
Most heels are very uncomfortable. Okay. And I'm watching so many people try to be comfortable. And, you know, even like Yvette and I go out and she looks great. And then like her thing is like, I got my shoes in my bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, just in case. Like, why don't you just rock the shoes you want to wear? Anyway. Because I don't want to condition our daughter to feel like
she needs a tall guy.
She needs a tall guy or she has to wear heels. Like, I don't want our daughter to think that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know.
Yeah. So I don't actually know what he was asking.
He just needed the support, man. And I got him. My guy, I feel you, bro. And he's 23, so it's done for him. He's not going to grow no more.
I was thinking, I was like, I wonder if he's still growing, though, because he's 23.
But think about, like,
25 when you stop growing.
You know, like, that can make you angry at God if you're praying to grow and you don't grow. You're like, Lord, what? As you run out of inches, like, Lord, hook me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy. That's an easy prayer, Jesus. I mean, to me. You know what I mean? But I feel like if I was tall.
I wish I was tall.
Check this out. If I was a tall guy, I don't know if I'd be as good.
What do you mean?
Like, I probably would develop a little bit of a complex, like ego.
You mean now?
No, like. I would have grown to not work on character or something.
Babe,
no,
that's
seriously.
Not true.
You know, my dad always told me he was 5'11". I looked that fool in the eye yesterday. He used to tell me that. And then he would tell me that. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And then Sherry would always kind of snicker. But he was like, how would he know? He's short. He don't know. But then I grew to his height. And I'm like, man, we the same height.
Did you tell him that last night?
Nah, but I just looked at him, just shook my head, you know what I'm saying, in shame.
That is such an unnecessary lie. Oh, man. All right, Mr. Guy. I just want you to know that there is someone out there for you. I don't feel like 5'8 is short. I feel like 5'8 is pretty tall, actually. But I understand.
Yeah,
you're
not insufficient. You're not insufficient. And even if your wife calls you little, she'll still love you.
He's not married yet. Okay, so we have another email from a gentleman. And I'm just going to read it. Hey, y'all. First of all, I just want to say you guys are a breath of fresh air and you are doing the Lord's work. We love it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
So my wife and I are in a phase where we're trying to find... So my wife and I are in a phase where we're trying to find financial stability, especially on my end as the man, since I've been unemployed for a minute now. I'm a copywriter by profession and soon to get back to the 9-to-5 life, but my passion is music, beat making, music production to be specific. However, problem is my wife struggles accepting this passion because it ain't bringing any income yet. I started making beats in 2018, but I really locked in around beginning of 2022. So it hasn't been a long time doing this. I make at least 2 to 3 beats a week and post them on YouTube, IG, and X. It's still funny to me that it's X. I just need to get a placement with a big artist or something, so I prove to my wife that this thing can actually feed our family if I give it enough time. My wife wants to see the money coming in from the beat, from my beat making, and not just me making beats all day and no bread to show for it, which I get. But at the same time, I think this kind of thing takes time to get online traction, placements or beat leases or sales. She struggles to see me sit on my laptop making beats because there's no income coming in from it just yet. What would your advice be on this? How can I assure her that my beat making can eventually feed our family in the future so that there's a peace in our marriage and for the days she'll see me working on my MIDI all work?
MIDI is a keyboard that gives sound.
Regardless of the fact that the beats may just not yet be bringing in the bread. How can I transition from copywriting into music full time? How do I know it's time to transition and take the leap? Love and peace. I wish there was like a link to
the beats. You could have got a placement right here.
Facts.
We
could have played it right here on the thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just look up his name on Instagram.
So I feel like, Yvette, you've been her.
I have been her.
And so what would your advice be to young sir here?
My advice, I think, would be to put in the work, like to show her what you're willing to do. I feel like one of the things for me is that, like, no matter what, I knew you were going to like do something to make money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Even if it didn't look like what I suggested it should be, like get a job at Target, you know, dues.
Yeah, that was an argument.
That was an argument for us. He still like drove taxi cabs and wiped old men's butts and did all the things in order to make the money. And the interesting thing about it is that when he did come up with like a whole full-fledged album that he was about to release, I was so confused on when he even did that. Like, where did you have time to write, record, and do all this music? And he was doing it when I was asleep. And so for me, it's like, how bad do you want it? I think E.T. is the one that was like, do you want it as bad as you want to breathe? Mm-hmm. Is that the way he says it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, you for a season are going to have to show evidence of your willingness to provide, or that you can or will provide, but then put in the work after hours, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. At least for me, I think that is valuable. Another thing that I know that we women, or that I would like to see, is a plan. I know Glenn and I talked about music, and we were like, okay, let's give this 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give this 5 years, and if at 5 years we don't have something popping off, then we might need to, like, you know, put this on the side table or something and move on to something a little bit more substantial and confirmed income.
Yeah. And that, you know, what that was a hard conversation for me, because I felt like
I didn't believe in you.
You know, it just felt bad, like, trying to convince you, or, like, that I needed permission to do what I felt like I was called to do, or what I was good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know if anybody has, like, a certain skill that they're kind of like, no, I really am built for this. Like, I really am good at this, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the hard part for me is that, like, if I couldn't make money off of it, I felt like I wasn't good enough. Like, if I wasn't making enough money to provide for the family, or you were looking at me like, bruh, you got 2 more months until the 5 years is up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, maybe I'm just not good enough. Mm-hmm. And it really, here's the thing. It really doesn't matter about your skill level. That's not the problem. Trust me.
Facts.
With beats, possibly. Possibly it depends on your skill, at least that you have some type of vibe. It really matters how hungry you are. Mm-hmm. Like, it matters how consistent, how creative, and what you are willing to do that no one else is willing to do. And there's a level to, like, success that involves a different relentlessness. Like, it is, like, you being, like, you know, I have these type of conversations all the time. And a lot of times, you know, Cass is kind of like, yeah, man, like, I just don't know what to do. And that like, to get you to the next level, right? And the way you get to the next level isn't asking the question, what do I do? The question you need to ask is, what won't I do? Mm-hmm. What will I not do to make it to this thing? And when you can literally say, there is nothing that I won't do to get there, then you will make it. You know what I'm saying? Barring not, you know, doing anything illegal or whatever. But, like, the answer to this question is very simple. But it needs to be your decision. Because you're not going to listen to me if you don't want to listen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you didn't make a covenant with your dream to make beats. You didn't promise to beats that you would make them money. You made a covenant to your wife, and you do whatever it takes to make money for them. That's literally it. You know what I'm saying? Like, close a laptop, go to get a job, and then open the laptop when you should be sleeping, you know, and use that time. You sitting on a computer all day making beats is disrespectful to me, is how I see it. That's coming from someone who has spent a time being a sassy stay-at-home husband.
Sassy?
Yeah. Remember when I was by the chimney reading the Bible, and you came home from work, and I told you what I did that day, and you were like, what'd you do? I started a fire and I read the Bible.
No.
That happened.
What?
That happened. And then, like, a week later, your dad was like, yeah, you're going to have to get these school loans paid eventually.
Oh.
And I was like, rrr?
You're talking about when we had no kids.
When we had no kids, yeah. I said a sassy stay-at-home husband, not stay-at-home father. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I just make music, and we're going to make it with this music one day. And that is true. We would have made it with the music if that's what I wanted to do. But I still worked while doing it. And that's the biggest compliment Yvette ever gave me was, she didn't even know I had time to work on an album because I was doing it while she was sleeping. She went to sleep around 9, 9:30, and I was up from 9:30 to 2 in the morning working on music. I get like 3 hours of sleep, and I'm not saying this is healthy.
It's not.
But I had a goal. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And mind you, we already have one kid. No. How many kids we have? No, Theo was about to... No. We had one kid at least. We had two kids.
We had Theo and Uriah.
We had Theo and Uriah. Mm-hmm. I was working. You were working. And we had someone watching the kids during the day. Mm-hmm. And I'd had to be to work at like 6:30 on base. It was like a 45-minute drive. And I had to work on music until I, you know, and I was like, yeah, the album's about to come out. And Yvette was like, okay, how many songs are on it? I was like, about 13. And she was like, when did you have time to work on 13 songs? Like, when did you have that time? And I was like, I did it when you were sleeping. I was like, you didn't notice what I was doing? And what did you think I was doing?
I watching don't know TV? If I realized you were up as late as you were. I'm asleep.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about being a creative, and I don't know if this is true for all, but I know that it's true for me. I'm not a night person. I'm more someone who... will like wake up early in the morning to accomplish tasks or whatever. But there have been moments where I've gotten like a creative bug and I've been able to like stay up. Like there's a wave of energy that I get. And so if this is something that is truly a passion and something that you enjoy or whatever, I feel like you'll find like it'll like caffeinate you in a way that you may not feel like you're going to have energy for once you get home from work or whatever. But I think these types of conversations are so good to have with like people like you. Like I don't, not necessarily, or just people in general, like another older, wiser couple or someone who's like, who's where you want to be in that lane. You know what I'm saying? Because though, like me being able to hear from someone else as a wife, me being able to hear from someone else, like, hey, my husband wants to be, what is this called? A music producer or whatever. My husband wants to be a music producer. I need you to tell me what it looked like what your journey looked like to get to where you are now, the level of success you have now, so that I understand what it takes. You know what I'm saying? And then based on that, I feel like there's conversations that can be had about like, okay, babe, like these are the things I would like to see you doing, even if you like get a part-time job and then the other part of the time you're working on this, you know, more fully. But these are the things I would like to see you doing in order to know that we're at least moving closer to where you want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think so many times people are like, oh, you know, I want to do whatever, but there's no forward movement. Mm-hmm. And I think we as women, we just like to see forward movement. And I know he's saying like, I'm not going to be able to get any momentum until I get whatever, you know, someone to listen to it or placement or whatever. However, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think, too, like, you're playing yourself if you're making beats all day, because it really, only thing that matters is who you know. Like, somebody could have really dope beats, but they could use samples, and not everybody can use that. You know what I mean? You have to invest in an artist that you believe in a lot of times, and you guys come up together. You can't spend most of your day in the lab working on stuff. You got to be out mingling and networking and making connections, because it's all about who you know. And then you also just working on character. I'm not sure what your character is or whatever, but just being friendly or a vibe to be around in a studio setting, or easily able to work with others. You know what I'm saying? Like, those type of things go way beyond like what you think. You know what I mean? So I would just really, there's a lot of different things you could work on, but all those things you should be working on after hours. And, you know, if you've been working on music for the past 4 years, that's a problem only. If you haven't had a job in the past 4 years, that's a problem. If you haven't had a job in the past year, that's a problem too. You know what I'm saying? But I think at this point, if you have a skill or by trade you're a copyright person, then you should go back to work. You know what I mean? Because people need that, right? And so you go do that, and then you find out what music events are happening close by. You find out what shows are happening. You ask people if you can send them some music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to get out there and network. But I would be really frustrated if I was your wife. You know what I'm saying? That's really difficult to deal with, is someone who has a dream but no plan. And I know that because I was that guy. Dream, no plan. And when my wife asked me, hey, what's your 5-year plan, it changed everything. And so there were points where Yvette's like, yeah, let's figure out this 5 years. 5 years later, we got somewhat of a plan, we got somewhat of momentum, but it really didn't really kick in until I started going on tour, right? And that's when money started really coming in. And I was like, all right, cool, we making $5,000 a month off of this tour whenever I go. How much money what I need to make for it to make it realistic for me to do this? And she's like, there's no amount of money that you could go away and make. I don't care if it's $100,000 a month. There's no amount of money that I would prefer you to be away, right, instead of being here.
I mean, if it's $100,000 a month, at that point I could quit my job and you can take me with you.
No, that's not what you told me. But even still, that's not.
I mean, yeah.
But that's not $100,000 a month if I'm taking you with me, because then it costs for you to come. Mm-hmm. So that's another trip. That's another flight. You know what I'm saying? So we're probably looking around 75. You know, it's a different, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Plus taxes and all that stuff. So we're bringing down to 40,000 a month.
Gosh.
You know what I mean? So
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, not to beat it over the head, but like, even when you are successful, if your aim is just to prove it to your wife, that's still not successful enough, because then you're just full time and you're working every time to make you're still trading your time for money. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to think about truly what success looks like. Mm-hmm. And if success is proving it to your wife, that's not really success. That's permission. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you got a lot of stuff to think about. I hope this helped.
All right, babe, how married are you?
You forgot your water today. Brought you some water. You were parched. I don't know if you drank enough because you're coughing during the podcast. But, yeah, I brought your water to you. Mm-hmm. What about you? How married are you?
I'm so married that I've made you breakfast 2 days in a row. Does that count?
No, that's great.
I know some women out there, you'd probably be cooking your man, husband, person a breakfast every morning. Good for you. That ain't what it is over here. I did it 2 days in a row. I deserve a pat on the back.
No, you do. How did you feel about me asking you to
not make you breakfast?
No. Go into the kitchen.
We're gonna have that conversation at the end of the episode.
I'm just curious.
What do you mean?
Because I was like, hey, like, I need you. Because I didn't ask you to make me breakfast, but you did. Which I do appreciate. But how'd you feel about when I said, hey, you know?
I feel like that conversation deserves a whole episode.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it deserves just a measly 30 seconds.
Okay.
But in short, indifferent. I don't think indifference is the word. I think, how did I feel?
Bothered?
I felt bothered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
and
that's just how married we are.